Welcome to Bull Tales episode 9, and fair play to you for getting through this. It's a lot of hot content I've been offering up these past weeks, so well done for getting it down, yeah. The formidable Liam Schuetz joins me this week, a big player in the stand-up comedy game. He's played The Glee, he's gigged for Ricky Bloody Hatton. So here's that jingle, and then some talking. Liam Schuetz.
Hello.
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 Do you like the way I introduce everyone by just saying their name?
Just your name, yeah.
It's a normal conversation, normal people do.
David Coleman of you, I think.
Yeah.
Be sort of matter of fact, one
nil.
Liam Schuetz.
Yeah, straight in.
In, no messing around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah, you've been wanting to get on this for a long time, that's fair to say.
I'm a media whore. I like football.
Yeah, you're a perfect match, I think, for this thing.
It's an absolute slag for it, yeah.
Yeah, well, I want to get straight to it, straight to the heart of it.
Mm.
I don't do any research on my guests. That's a big part of this podcast. So I don't know where you grew up. I don't know when you were playing football as a kid. That's all up to you to tell me and the listening world.
I grew up in Merthyr Tydfil.
Oh.
Yeah, we used to play football in a village called Aberfan, and there was a park area.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a park. It was basically like gravel, big thick gravel, and some garage doors, and it used to be called the old OP because it used to be an old chocolate factory on there.
That little chocolate factory.
Yeah, we used to play on the rubble of the chocolate factory, me and my friends.
That's morbid, isn't it?
We used to really hurt ourselves because there was a really hard stones there, which is quite a trope. Merthyr, I suppose. these kids, we might as well have been playing on broken glass.
Why did you set up there? Why do you think this is where we'll play our track?
It was where our parents told us to play.
Oh, okay.
we weren't love children. And then one day someone shot at us, which was fun. Because opposite the OP was this bank of Japanese knotweed.
Of course,
One of the genetically subnormal teenagers from the area.
Okay.
We were like, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Kicking the ball against the garage door. And then, it was like Apocalypse Now, basically. This gun sight came out of the knotweed and there was like a hole in the garage door.
Did you ever know who did it? Was it like
there was like a rustling in the bushes, and then whoever did it was
very
off.
Much a JFK situation.
Yeah, it was proper Viet Cong situation. I like to think that he's still in there waiting for that game of football to finish, like a Japanese POW.
Yeah.
Just
waiting it out.
It's just gonna come out one day.
Playing the long game.
Yeah,
Oh my god, that is terrifying.
It was an air gun, but I mean, you could have had someone's eye out. Reliably informed by parents.
Yeah, he got the shot in. That's the scary thing. You never found out any motive or any.
Mm.
It wasn't particularly offensive celebration or something.
No,
just caused...
nothing
to incite this aggression.
No,
it's terrifying. I mean, we've had Jethro on the podcast last week, I believe, and he was very much a street footballer as well, like yourself. So I feel like it's a good one to follow on from.
He obviously won an award last night, so he was on the podcast last.
He did.
He wins an award, so. I've not entered any competitions, but might do the lottery or something.
Yeah, after this, we're going to do an hour of admin, and we're going to get you. We're going to get you on board.
Yeah,
it's just turning everyone to gold is the idea of this podcast. Yeah, that's the plan.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's quite a rough start to football. Why did you enjoy it and keep doing it if it was just like, I'm just going to go out and play on that gravel again?
Well, I think I've got grandparents who are of Irish descent, and there's that whole sort of. The misery of being Irish, I guess, and Catholic, and and then Merthyr on top. It's just like make it as industrial and guilt heavy as you possibly can. I remember one day we punctured the football. So
must have happened more than once.
Yeah, because the gravel was really bad.
Yeah.
And my friends and I, we were not done with football for the day. So I stole my sister's puppy in my pocket. And we kicked the fuck out of that around the OP. And,
sorry, what?
It was like a puppy in my pocket. You know, it was like one of the trendy things at the time.
I heard the word puppy and heard we kicked it around the gravel. And thought, like, Jesus Christ, I've got another 25 minutes of this.
For clarity's sake,
yeah,
it was a stuffed toy.
Right, thank God.
Yeah, my father kicked me around the floor afterwards. Yeah, he was not best pleased with that.
Jesus.
Yeah. I actually cried and welched on me. I was really pissed off with that.
That's no good.
Yeah,
did he?
I scored a hat trick.
Gotta keep it then. Surely that's the rule.
I had to take it back home. I had to take the evidence back through the front door to my father. Why are you bringing this savage puppy in my pocket home, son? Isn't that your sister's? I just scored a hat trick on the OP.
Kiss him, put on the mantelpiece. 1-0. God, that's brilliant. That's a pretty good. Yeah, I can see now why. Yeah, you would have continued with that level of success. What was your first sort of team? Do you remember that?
Liverpool.
Oh, Liverpool. Yeah, it's always Liverpool.
Mm.
Never had any fluttering. Any.
No.
Just straight Liverpool.
Liverpool. Went to support my local team for a couple of years, Merthyr Tydfil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was singularly one of the most depressing experiences of my life. Then it lasted for 2 years. And
2 years?
Yeah, I remember...
It's
like
a good innings for Merthyr.
Yeah, well, I remember like one season we played Ilkeston Town and we won 11-1, which was a strong performance. And the next season they came around and beat us 5-0. And you're just like, how could there possibly be a 16-goal swing? That's just ridiculous.
That's so true, yeah. It's a ridiculous game. Like, that reminds me of, like, I when I'm support Arsenal. My dad's a massive Arsenal fan, and I was working a shift in Morrison's on, do you remember the famous 4-all Newcastle game?
Yeah.
So I heard we're 4-0 up, and I then, like, during my shift, I thought, brilliant, great. Finished my shift, and phoned my dad, and he's like, we drew. You could hear it in his voice. It's like, we drew. And I was just like, and then he just said to me, Cameron, how can we support a team that can do this? it was so as if it was like the end
that
of the
day.
Like,
it seems like the eternal pessimism of the Arsenal fan.
I think so. Like, I understood the point of, like, if you're 4-0 up and you can't be comfortable, when can you ever enjoy it again? Like, 5-0 until we blow that? Like,
I think Arsenal fans are really, they don't know they're born really.
Oh, no, that's absolutely a fair point. Yeah, it's not Merthyr, and it's not.
No, it's not even Newcastle. Yeah, 4-all with. I mean,
your
Arsenal fans, I still whinge about that game. You're like, you haven't been relegated, have you?
No, it's all relative though. I guess. Yeah. I don't have that spectrum of experience to draw on. So
I mean, I'm gonna labour the point and draw it out a bit more. It's almost like Arsenal fans are like those children. Do you know what I mean? Children at parties who, when the pasta parcel goes round and they don't win, they cry that they didn't win.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
and then
finish fourth again.
And then just leave the party and just, you know, kick the table with the cake over or whatever. Just, not nice people. All things considered.
I don't know about that. I think that's generalising people as a whole. I wouldn't ever say about Liverpool fans.
It's
arsonist, you know,
isn't it? I mean,
being, you know, Liverpool always being the victims. I would never say that.
You just did. Right?
But I wouldn't. I wouldn't in a professional capacity. Like,
it's just basically, like, I listen to 606 on the weekend while I'm doing my ironing.
Yeah.
I can look after myself. And depending on what Arsenal have done that weekend, if Arsenal have lost or drawn, you'll have an Arsenal fan on with his identikit Arsenal voice going, Wenger's got to go. Wenger's got his time's up. And then the next week, if Arsenal win, Wenger's a genius. You know, you're like, oh, guys, you know.
Yeah.
There's no shades of grey with Arsenal fans, is there?
Yeah, but then that is a very specific demographic of fan that decides, you know what, I'm going to call up a radio host and just speak to him for a bit. Like, I think that's like a very specific type of person across the board. Of
almost
fans.
Like somebody who would make a podcast.
Don't know who's that sort of thing. This is just so I'm not writing alone. But yeah, I remember a good Tottenham fan calling in before who just sort of broke... He almost broke the fourth wall in terms of, he goes, like, Tottenham had done something, I think they just missed out on fourth or something, and he phoned in going, why, like, why does everyone hate Tottenham? Why, it's not just Arsenal fans, it's everyone, they're all laughing at us. And he completely lost it, as if like the whole, yeah, I vividly remember that. That was a good call.
Yeah, 606 is genius, I think.
Yeah, I think, is Robbie Savage on 606 now?
Yeah, he is, yeah, he's great on it.
He's a legend of the punditry game now. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
Very much.
So Machiavellian, and you'd never think it, would you? Exactly. You'd never think you have the innate intelligence.
It's all part of the genius.
To be able to get under the skin of absolutely everybody.
And still just be regularly employed.
Yeah.
The more he does it. Yeah. I think he's, a bit of a genius.
Yeah, so I remember like Alan Green used to present 606.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically said, Alan, we can't have you on 606 anymore because you're really pissing off the Everton and Man United fans.
Yeah.
All right, who are you going to replace me with? Robbie Savage.
Just to cover every other single team.
If you're going to piss people off, do it right. Piss them all off.
Yeah, it's equality that he's after. That's
right.
He wants everyone completely...
Yeah.
Just leaving that show miserable until next week.
it's so interesting, like, when fans of clubs that he's played for call in, and like the fans of Derby fucking loathe him and the fans of Leicester loathe him, everybody hates him.
Welsh people hate him.
Blackburn all versus
he's just left a trail.
I really liked him.
Exactly. Not as a player, though. I mean, he wasn't a good player.
Oh, yeah, he was all right. He just never stopped running, did he?
I think he's really found his voice in the punditry game.
Somewhat, yeah.
let's go backwards in time. What was like the first team you played for? Can you remember?
St. Mary's Roman Catholic High School.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and we played against a team called Greenfield School. And Greenfield School was, in inverted commas, the special school.
Yeah, in what sense?
They were all disabled kids,
okay,
of varying sort of physical and mental disabilities. And we won
4-0. Good result.
Yeah, I hit the crossbar. I couldn't even score against a disabled boy. So I was never really good at football.
Okay.
I mean, he was a great keeper.
Yeah.
What
was his disability?
He was in a wheelchair. I don't know. He wasn't. I don't know what his disability was. I mean,
okay.
Probably felt too young to, ill-equipped to deal
with.
It's
not with something you need to know, I need to know for that matter.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised you're digging that deep, Cameron. What was that 8-year-old's disability? Oh, he was 8.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. So a 4-0 win.
Mm. No goals for me.
No goals for you. But that's so. Where did you play?
I have centre midfield. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. In the engine room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Were you like a creative midfielder, a destroyer?
I was 8. We all kicked the ball forwards and all ran after it. And then when the other team got the ball, they'd try and kick the ball forwards and they wouldn't. And we'd just take the ball off them. And
it sounds like you really had the edge, yeah.
We did. I mean, it was unfair.
Yeah.
It was a bit like Ilkeston Town against Merthyr Tydfil.
Right, yeah.
Part 1.
The 11th one.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay, so was that like a regular thing where you play?
Yeah, we had to play them. We had to play them because it was like, we think there were 6 schools in the area and they were one.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't finish bottom of the league, which
was good on them.
Yeah, it was good
on
them.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So you're playing for your school team. Like, is this something you had to sort of get into? Or was it a case of just everyone played for the school team?
Oh, no, it was quite a. Quite the competition for the school team. I only played for the school team 3 times.
Okay.
And we had a school teacher called Mr. Fulgoni.
Mr. Fulgoni.
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 Yeah. He was Italian. He looked a lot like Franco Baresi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he took football very seriously indeed, did Mr. Fulgoni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. I think they like. I remember watching the coverage of an Italian football game on Italian TV, and it had been like a draw or something, and they were just all sat there miserable. So they were all very seriously.
He was a typical Italian coach. I mean, he 8-year-olds and he favoured the sweeper system.
It's quite a hard system to understand, especially if you're 8.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You've got little guy just cleaning up the defensive mess. And
that's right.
Yeah, how did it work, I guess?
Yeah, we won the league.
Won the league?
We won the Merthyr Schools League,
All right, and I'm starting to think of all the guests I've had on so far, a lot of them did not make their school teams, let alone silverware.
Silverware, yeah. I mean, I must say, I made the team three times, and that was when a guy called Robert King was ill.
Mm-hmm.
Robert King went on to sign for Aston Villa.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so he never played for them.
I like that detail got in. We didn't need to know that.
Football was unkind to Robert. But no, he signed for Villa, and I was in his position, so
pretty hard line.
Just to pray for that kid to get chicken pox or tonsillitis.
So what were the illnesses, like just mysterious poisonings and like
that's right, Robert's missing.
Oh shame, he's late again.
What, my shorts?
Oh, poor Robert. I mean, that traumatised him and probably stopped him ever playing for Aston Villa.
I mean, the idea of playing for Aston Villa would stop me playing for Aston Villa. I've got to see.
Yeah, well, I've got him on next week, so I'll have to chat to him.
Good.
About the understudy. Okay, so I'm trying to work out basically with everyone who's done this podcast, the types of player they were. So you start off 8 years old, playing sort of not, you know, any type of midfielder, a kick and move forward type midfielder. What did that develop into? Did you stay in midfield as you grew up?
No. As I grew older, it was midfield, striker, or centre back, basically anywhere down the middle.
Just the spine.
Just anywhere down the middle.
Yeah.
And then when I put on a lot of weight and started playing futsal, I was the goalkeeper.
Hang on, futsal?
Yeah.
All right, this bears repeating. This sounds like a story. What? Explain to me what futsal is. I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
Oh, futsal is the game that the Brazilians invented, and it's got like a heavier ball.
And a tiny goal.
And a tiny goal. And a court.
Oh, wow.
And it's like quite fast moving. Well, a bit too fast moving for my fat ass when I was playing it.
How many players a side in?
Five.
Five aside, that sounds pretty intense. I don't think I've had anyone on that's played futsal.
It's good.
Yeah,
we're in the league in Cardiff, and
How does it differ, like, in terms of style of play? That was like,
it's all skills,
just
which
skills.
So I was uniquely ill-equipped for, which is another reason why they just put the biggest person in the team in the goal frame, because the goal frame was quite small.
You had it covered. What was your best skill? You must have had one. A little step over, a little lollipop.
Oh, the little drag past. I was a big fan of Fernando Torres, and he used to do it all the time. He used to think he's going to go inside, and then you just sort of drag it around the midfield.
Around
the defender, yeah.
That's a good one.
Occasionally, it came off.
That's all you need, really. Like, if it came off every time,
it would be
a skill.
just be given. He's done that again.
Oh, I suppose we better clap.
That's right. Yeah, he should have played more times for St Mary's, that lad.
I like the idea that you've got like a fan base, hardcore.
Mr. Fulgoni didn't know what he was doing.
Mr. Fulgoni, I think Dan Kiss certainly had an Italian coach as well when he was at school. I'm wondering if this is like a pattern that I'm uncovering through doing this podcast, that Italians just infiltrating their way into sort of the Welsh school system and teaching them football.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why these Euros have been so good.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it's far-fetched. It's a working theory.
They talk about grassroots. I mean, you don't get more grassroots than that.
Or gravel roots. So, what went wrong? Why aren't you now, you know, like Robert King, a professional footballer? What happened?
I'm not very good at football is the short answer.
I mean, it's a barrier. It's a barrier.
Yeah, and I got a bit of a short fuse. And I mean, I like to play the game the way it's meant to be played, you know, but you get guys who are quite aggressive who play it. And
I wouldn't have thought that of you at all, Liam.
My goodness. It's very kind you just said so, Cameron.
In such a sarcastic tone.
these guys who take it far too seriously get on my tits. And,
So
they ruin the fun.
Yeah, so were you, there's different, you know, we can think of players over the years, the professional players who've had that attribute. Were you the sort of the Robbie Savage short few, the Duncan Ferguson,
the Duncan Ferguson
mold? Yeah.
Well,
Roy Keane.
No, God, no.
Roy Keane's in between Savage and Ferguson in my head.
Maybe Steve McMahon.
In that bracket. That's a tough place to be.
Graham Souness.
I think he's probably head of Ferguson, and he was like the archetypal hard man.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but you can't like.
Again, I see like that's like I've seen Souness mainly through his hard man punditry, so that's what I'm drawing on, just his no nonsense opinion.
Yeah,
that's what I see him as.
I watched him beat up a Turk once when playing for Liverpool, which is hilarious. They one of them left his foot in on, I think it was Ronnie Whelan, and Graham Souness just absolutely bashed him up.
Just proper fighting.
Just absolutely smashed him. Yeah, he got sent off and missed the European Cup final, I think it was.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of it. Did anything... What was your biggest blow-up? Like, you said you had a short fuse.
Well, it was playing futsal, actually, and we were playing this team who were... We used to see them every week, and they were, like, just super aggressive. It was just a team of five dicks, you know? You've never seen such bell ends in all your life. And, like, we just did it for a laugh, you know? And right at the end of the game... One of my teammates was running towards the back wall.
Mm-hmm.
The guy behind him pushed him as he was running into the wall and snapped his arm.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, come on, you know, that's not on. And instead of sort of like, at that point he could have said it was an accident. It wasn't, but he could have gone, oh, geez, I'm sorry. He snapped the guy's arm. And he didn't. He basically, you know, got really obstropolous. So
he just, oh God, he held that line.
So it's out of order. And then like their goalkeeper came running down the pitch and like sort of confronted me, and I pushed him in the face, and he said, right, fuck off. And he actually said these words, Cameron, fuck off, you French-faced cunt.
Wow, that's quite...
I don't look French. What does a Frenchman look like anyway?
Oh, how did you look at the time? Very much the same?
Just pretty much the same. Yeah. A bit sort of dust in a facial hair.
Yeah.
Probably not as much fatter, admittedly.
Yeah, burying a necklace of onions, and apart from that...
Yeah,
just,
with a glass of red wine, naturally.
Yeah. That is sort of baffling ignorance.
Yeah.
To say that with such confidence as well. So how did it escalate?
Well, I fought the five of them and we were banned from the league.
So you fought the five of them. What are your teammates doing at this
point?
Well,
there was a guy called Dan Yeo, who was our captain, who was literally crying on the edge of the pit. That was my abiding memory of this. Dust ball of people going at it, and like
this is an indoor court as well.
Was there a referee? He was this old fella trying to get involved. I mean, I felt a bit guilty about that, because of course once you're committed to something like that, you can't really stop. Otherwise you'll get hurt. And I remember looking over this, like, only the fat guy's as goalkeeper seems to be the thing in futsal. So I look over this fat guy's shoulder, and Daniel, our captain, is in tears on the side of the court. And I thought, you absolute bloody coward. Get involved and help. Who doesn't help a man?
Yeah, who's fighting five other men.
Five other guys.
And an old referee.
And
just
an old
in the
referee
mix
who's
somewhere.
Just like trying to pull you. Oh, dear God, yeah.
Yeah, so fair to say that referee lost control of the game.
He lost control of the game, yeah. But I mean, in fairness, he regained control by kicking us out of the league. So.
That match report must have been
quite
something.
We couldn't even get our subs back, which I thought was a bit of a piss take.
So you paid for the whole season?
We paid for the whole season, yeah. And we couldn't get anybody to sort of join our team other than the people who were there.
Uh-huh.
So we had five players and a sub. And then we were down to five players because Phil had broken his arm in half.
Well, yeah.
It was a mercy killing, really, that we were thrown out. I mean, they were a better team anyway. they thrashed us. But that had nothing to do with what
happened. I was
going to
say, that sort of colours the story differently for some reason.
Yeah, there was no sense of bitterness. They were just a better team, but they were just really horrible about it.
But
really mean people. Why are you being so mean?
Yeah, well, and like, you know, if you're the better team, you don't need to be shoving people.
You don't need
into
to
walls.
Be shoving. I mean, yeah, we were still having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it all kicked off.
It was just like blew up like a powder keg. Yeah.
Oh man, so did you win the fight? Has that been established?
That was fine.
Yeah. You've lived to tell the tale.
Oh, yeah,
they're,
of course, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're all dead.
No, they're not dead, but you know, some of them have.
They've gone where that Aston Villa player's gone.
Yeah.
Hidden away for another day. I'm going to get on to the quickfire questions. That we've got, I think I've got two of them from memory.
Okay.
One sort of I sort of started doing them, and this one sort of sparked a bit of a debate. The first one is halftime oranges, yes or no? Simple question. Your thoughts on halftime oranges?
No.
No, okay. That's controversial.
No.
According to my figures.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people have been going for the oranges. Why not?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it seems like a bit of a pointless exercise, doesn't it? An orange.
Oranges are nice.
They're nice, yeah, by all means, they're nice. But beetroots are better for you, of course. They oxygenate the blood. Nature's steroid. Yeah. That was what Mamadou Sakho was on before he was banned last season. Yeah,
yeah.
He was on that, he had too much beetroot at half time. Orange, doesn't it?
Doesn't really do it for you. I've never heard beetroot, that's another thing to add to the mix. Like,
get some beetroot in, yeah.
Yeah, so that hasn't been controversial.
Some bananas.
Bananas are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oranges, though.
Mm.
Well.
Yeah, well, the real controversy around this is that in episode one, as I've mentioned many times, James Dunn threw a curveball in and presented the idea of halftime Jaffa cakes.
Right.
Thoughts?
Yeah, he's probably right, actually. Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, that's evened up the teams a bit.
Yeah,
and considering you fought five men, I think now Dunn's team has a better chance.
Well, the way I look at it is, I remember Rio Ferdinand coming back from
drug
thing.
Yeah.
He was eating jelly at the side of the pitch, if you remember. He was eating Roundtree's jelly. Other forms of jelly are available.
They're not
but,
as good as Roundtree's.
Well, no, and Rio's got a lot of money, so...
he knows what he's doing with his jelly.
He doesn't need Smart Price, does he? It's not for him. Like, I don't think, would you ever see Rio Ferdinand in Lidl's? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Depends
not.
What they sell.
Maybe Anton Ferdinand, he's a former
well,
times.
Anton Ferdinand lives in, but he works in the doesn't he?
Yeah.
I suppose it would depend what they sell in the centre aisle as to whether you see Rio in.
Yeah.
I mean, he does have an angle grinder, so sometimes. You know, sometimes when they get the angle grinders in and stick them next to the legumes,
you know,
Rio just can't help himself.
Yeah,
he
might pop in.
Yeah,
you never know.
He doesn't care that it's not a Dewalt. He says.
Oh, poor guy. But yeah, okay, so you've gone with the Jaffa cakes as a better option than oranges.
Yeah, given as I was like press ganged into it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been like a Jaffa cake gulag, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've just been trying to help out James Dunn, you know, he's gonna lose this argument quite heavily. Everyone's been ridiculing Jaffa cakes as an option.
No, I think it's they're high energy content, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just push you through the second half. You know, that's all
that's
it
all
needs.
It needs, yeah.
Yeah, that's not,
yeah.
It's not. Not a life choice.
I'm not the sort of person to question a man who can wear hats in the way that James Dunn does.
Yeah.
That itself is a sign of wisdom. I mean,
he's someone to be listened to.
Yeah, you've got to take the guy seriously.
Yeah.
He knows how to cover a ball patch.
Well, he's actually, according to the team, that I'm putting together a team, Liam. I don't know if you know this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole
no.
idea of this podcast is that I'm doing 11 of them, putting together a team, and then maybe I'll do a series 2 where this team plays another team.
Mm.
And at the moment, you know, I've had the guests allocating their own positions. James Dunn was the first to do so. He's put himself in the Andrea Pirlo role.
Really?
So the sort of luxurious long hair position, defensive midfield. I'm going to run you through who I've currently got in the team so you can sort of maybe visualise where you put yourself. So in goal, we've got Darren Coles.
Right, okay.
He's going to be rocking the goalkeeper position. We've got Sarah Breeze at right back.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dan Kiss and Matt Rowe as our centre-back pairing. Yeah, not so sure on that.
Okay,
it's all up for negotiation. It's all to play for.
Yeah.
Like, so James Dunn just ahead of them, just holding the fort.
Mm.
Just ahead, a bit more creative midfielder ahead of Dunn. We've got Chris Chopping, centre midfield.
Mm.
Then we've got Matt Lee, who's up front, with Jethro Bradley, which is very much a little and large combination.
Oh, that's Toshak Rush right there.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got, you know, we've got left back free, and we've got two midfield positions.
There's no way I'm playing left back.
No, you're not playing left back.
No,
that's where I used to play.
Yeah, it's not good for me.
Yeah, no.
No,
you just got more to give.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasted at left back.
Yeah, I think like throughout this whole talk, you've very much been in the centre of the action.
I think centre back. I think you need to get rid of either Kiss.
All right, okay.
You can't have a man called Kiss at centre back.
Oh, here we go. He played for them in, you know, Caerphilly though. You know,
at centre back.
Yeah, yeah. Not for Caerphilly. The actual Caerphilly team.
No,
in Caerphilly.
It does surprise me. I mean,
that he was sent. Where would you think he would be?
Well, I would think he'd be like a more sort of Joe Allen sort of player.
Yeah,
you know,
sort
of like waspish around the fringes. Yeah.
I think I see him as the sort of more of the Beckenbauer type compared to Matt Rowe's sort of sturdier
Mertesacker
Yap Stam. type.
He hasn't got a PC app stand, has he?
No.
He's got a piece of Murdersack. Or should I say Murdersack's got the piece of Matt Troy?
It's often said about Murdersack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the midfield positions, I take it, a wing position?
Well, no, it depends what formation we're playing again. Mm. Like, we've got Dunn holding, we've got Chopping there. I mean, you could go central next to Chopping.
Yeah, maybe a Patrick Vieira sort of.
Yeah, well, I think we need it.
Roaming yeah. round. And,
I mean, Chopping was very much in the idea of where can I go that will cause the least harm. So I think if you're next to him, maybe that's complimentary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
You look after him.
Yeah.
And just make sure, you know, if anyone pushes him into a wall and doesn't apologise immediately, you can be on him.
But if I'm Patrick Vieira, I would be a French face.
You would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
I think I like that for you. I think that fits. Are you happy?
Yeah,
happy
yeah
being
I'm
there?
Happy enough with that, yeah.
Okay, that's good. But I guess James Dunn is sort of a bit of insurance behind you, doing a bit of sweeping up.
Never thought I'd hear that sentence in my life. Yeah. James Dunn is a bit of insurance behind you.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what you
I take huge comfort from that.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
That's
great, man. He's been mentioned more than anyone else on this podcast.
Yeah.
It always comes up. So, you know, that's good. In centre midfield, that should be the end of it, really. But who's going to captain this team, Liam?
Me. There you go.
Well,
you need someone decisive to do it.
I mean, you've got to, yeah. You know, I'm glad you're putting yourself forward. Everyone's been pitching for it.
Yeah, but they're dithering pricks, aren't they?
Well,
let's be fair.
We'll go through them. The current captain, just so you know exactly who you're up against, is Jethro Bradley.
He's currently
the captain
that
of the team.
That won't do.
Why isn't Jethro captain?
He wouldn't be assertive enough, I don't think.
No,
you know, he's a nice guy, you know.
He's on the pitch, though. Do you think as well?
You'd think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jethro's a nice guy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a talented striker as well. That's
is he really?
We got him up front, so
you know, you don't want the responsibility of their captaincy on you.
I don't. Yeah,
on your striker. Yeah,
no, I agree with that.
Sorry, Jethro, you're not having it.
So, what makes you better captain? What makes you captain material?
Because I'm better at telling people what to do than doing it myself.
You think you've got the respect of the other players?
Probably not. You'd have to ask.
Do you think
you're a kid?
You'll knight them all in resentment, and so you know,
yeah,
like, you know,
yeah,
when you've got
probably.
Like a teacher who like you all hate, but you actually get really good grades under that teacher.
Yeah, maybe I could like get them all to resent me, and then like tell them to do the opposite of what I want them to do, so they end up doing what I want anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the old.
And they think, oh,
yeah.
We're doing a mutiny, and you're like, ah.
Yeah, and I've got it written in notepaper, so at the end I can go, ha.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pull it out of an envelope, like Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
Your names are all in here.
That's right, yeah.
I said you'd score a goal. I think that'd work. I think I've heard enough. I think.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Captain of the team.
Thanks.
Liam Schuetz.
Go, lads.
There's two episodes to go, so you've got two more people to, you know, retain the captaincy against.
Yeah, who's that though? Charlie Webster?
Potentially.
Charlie
yeah.
Webster's my fucking captain of any team.
Can we just go through anyone that could potentially be the next guest? so whoever I get on, I've got a Liam
yeah.
rebuttal.
Well, Charlie Webster can't be captain of the team.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Why not?
Well, what do we even have to answer that question? You know, you can't have a man who openly admits that he should have a bag of rats as a pet as the captain of a football team.
Honesty, that's good for a captain.
Well, it is, but I mean,
he could lead by example.
Yeah, he'd also be in prison by the end of. I mean, imagine giving Charlie Webster the excesses of a professional footballer. I mean, he'd be in prison. You can't have your captain go to prison.
I mean, it's a fair point. If I get him on, I'll directly address him on this.
Yeah, do so.
Yeah, it's like a sort of long-winded conversation.
And also,
come through me.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know this, but he broke my bath panel in my flat.
Right.
While he was drunk, and that's just not.
It's not captain material.
It's not dignified behaviour. You know, the bath panel hasn't been replaced. I'm just saying.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Charlie, you know, you can't meet. Because the bath panel.
Well, maybe if he was wearing the armband at the time, he would have gone down to break the bath panel and then gone, oh no, responsibility.
No, he kicked it to bits. So,
that's the end of that. Oh.
Yeah. So you can't have it. You can't have a man like that being the captain of the team.
Okay, well, it's good. I'm glad we've got a captain who's really willing to defend.
Defend
the armband.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's my position.
Play for the shirt. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all about the prestige, personal prestige. Team.
Yeah.
Our team's shit. What about?
You've got to lead them. You've got to lead them.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, lead.
Okay, we're running up to time. So.
Great.
Thanks very much for coming on.
Great, captain, happy with that.
Good work.
Good work, thanks Cameron.
No worries, bye-bye.
Bye.
There he goes, Liam Schuetz, our new captain, and I sure as hell wouldn't want to be trying to wrestle the captaincy from him, so best of luck to next week's guest. Keep telling your friends about this podcast. It only really survives on word of mouth, so it would be nice to keep that ball rolling. If you don't have any friends, and why would you? You can leave a review on iTunes. That would also be great. See you next week.